Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Facing the Beast, Within the Anxiety of Cameron Poole, by Mark Cheverton, is a middle-grade fantasy adventure that combines monsters, magic, and survival stakes with a direct exploration of childhood anxiety. The novel follows Cameron Poole, a small sixth grader at summer camp who is targeted by bullies and repeatedly overwhelmed by fear, worry, and self-doubt. Cameron experiences his anxiety as the beast, a force that shapes how he sees ordinary challenges and extraordinary dangers. The book is not presented as a clinical manual, but it is clearly designed to make anxiety visible and discussable for young readers. Cheverton reportedly drew on research, consultation with mental health professionals, and family experience while building coping strategies into the story. Its purpose is therefore twofold: to deliver an accessible fantasy adventure and to give anxious children, parents, educators, and counselors a shared narrative for understanding fear, courage, and practical self-regulation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Cameron Poole makes anxiety concrete through the image of the beast. The central idea of the book is that Cameron does not merely feel nervous in isolated situations. Anxiety becomes a persistent internal presence that affects his choices, confidence, and sense of safety. By naming this presence the beast, the novel gives young readers a way to recognize anxiety without reducing Cameron to a diagnosis. The metaphor is effective because it separates the child from the condition. Cameron is not weak or defective. He is someone facing a force that can be identified, challenged, and managed. This distinction matters for middle-grade readers, who may struggle to describe internal experiences that feel confusing or embarrassing. The Beast also creates a bridge between the psychological and fantasy elements of the book. A monster in a fantasy story can be fought, studied, escaped, or outwitted, and the same logic is applied to anxious thoughts and body reactions. The metaphor does not suggest that anxiety disappears instantly. Instead, it frames progress as repeated confrontation, practice, and recognition. That makes the emotional arc more realistic than a simple message about being brave. Secondly, the fantasy adventure gives emotional lessons a plot-driven form. Facing the Beast Within uses the familiar structure of a high-stakes fantasy adventure to keep its mental health material from becoming didactic. Cameron is placed in a world of monsters, magic, and danger, including threats that extend beyond ordinary camp conflict. This structure allows the book to externalize fear in ways that are exciting rather than clinical. The danger of a monstrous invasion gives Cameron real problems to solve, while his anxiety complicates his ability to act. That combination is important because it prevents the fantasy from serving only as decoration. The battles, frightening settings, and urgent decisions mirror the pressure Cameron feels internally. For a young reader, this makes coping strategies relevant to the action rather than inserted as separate lessons. The adventure format also broadens the book beyond readers specifically seeking a book about anxiety. Children who enjoy fantasy can enter through the plot and gradually encounter the emotional material. In this sense, the novel occupies a useful position between therapeutic fiction and commercial middle-grade adventure. Its appeal depends on both suspense and recognition, not on instruction alone. Thirdly, coping techniques are embedded in scenes rather than listed as advice. One of the distinctive features of the novel is its attempt to place anxiety management strategies inside Cameron's lived experience. Reported examples include breathing exercises, mental distraction methods, and reframing negative thoughts. These techniques are common in anxiety support because they help interrupt spirals of panic, shift attention, and test whether a feared outcome is certain or exaggerated. In the book, their value comes from use under pressure. Cameron has to apply them when he is scared, embarrassed, or facing danger, which shows that coping is not a matter of simply knowing the right idea. It requires practice at the moment when the body and imagination are least cooperative. This narrative approach can help young readers understand why adults recommend such techniques. A breathing exercise is not presented as a magic cure. It is a tool that may create enough space for Cameron to think and act. That realistic framing is important. If coping methods always worked perfectly, the story would feel false. By placing them in difficult scenes, the book shows them as practical aids within an ongoing struggle. Fourthly, bullying and camp life show how anxiety is intensified by social pressure. Cameron's anxiety is not treated as an isolated private problem. His size, social position, and vulnerability at summer camp make him a target for bullies, and that environment gives his fears repeated triggers. This matters because many anxious children are not frightened only by imaginary dangers. They may be responding to real patterns of embarrassment, exclusion, or threat. The camp setting is useful for this theme because it removes Cameron from the stability of home and places him among peers, competition, unfamiliar routines, and public judgment. In such a setting, ordinary tasks can feel loaded with risk. The presence of friends, including supportive peers noted in available descriptions, helps balance this pressure. Friendship does not erase anxiety, but it gives Cameron social grounding and moments of trust. The book therefore recognizes that coping is both internal and relational. A child may learn breathing techniques or thought reframing, yet still need allies who reduce shame and isolation. By connecting bullying, peer support, and anxiety, the story gives a fuller picture of why fear can grow and how resilience can be supported. Lastly, the book defines courage as action taken while fear remains present. A recurring message in the novel is that bravery does not mean the absence of fear. Cameron's development depends on learning to act even while his anxiety continues to speak loudly. This is a useful correction to a common misunderstanding in adventure stories, where heroes may appear fearless once they accept their mission. Cameron is different because fear remains part of his experience. The emotional challenge is not to become a different kind of child overnight, but to recognize fear, test it, and choose a response. Reviews and descriptions also note the distinction between anxiety-generated fear and actual danger. That distinction is valuable because children with anxiety may experience imagined outcomes with the same urgency as real threats. The fantasy context lets the book explore both kinds of fear. Some dangers are genuinely external, while others are magnified by the beast. Cameron has to learn how to tell the difference without dismissing his feelings. This creates a more nuanced view of courage. It is not reckless confidence, and it is not denial. It is the gradual ability to move forward with fear understood and managed. In conclusion, Facing the Beast Within is especially suited to middle grade readers who enjoy fantasy, but also need language for anxiety, fear, and social vulnerability. It may be useful for children who recognize themselves in Cameron Poole, as well as for parents, teachers, school counselors, and therapists looking for a story-based way to begin conversations about anxious thoughts and coping tools. The practical benefit lies in making strategies such as breathing, distraction, and reframing feel concrete rather than abstract. The intellectual benefit is its clear separation between a child and the anxiety that troubles him, which can reduce shame and make self-observation easier. Compared with many books about childhood anxiety, it stands out because it does not rely only on explanation or reassurance. Compared with many fantasy adventures, it gives its hero a psychological struggle that shapes the plot rather than functioning as a minor character trait. Its strongest position is therefore as hybrid fiction, accessible enough for independent young readers, structured enough to support guided discussion, and imaginative enough to avoid feeling like a workbook. It should not be treated as a replacement for professional care, but it can serve as a meaningful companion to conversations about anxiety, bullying, courage, and emotional regulation. If you would like to support Mark Cheverton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.